Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for May 19th, 2024, Pentecost Sunday, is based on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is, Where Am I Called to Lead?
An introduction. Originally, Pentecost was a Jewish Thanksgiving-type festival celebrated 7 weeks after Passover. On this particular Pentecost, however, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the entire community of believers, just as Jesus had promised and the scriptures had prophesied. Empowered by the Spirit, the entire community bears witness to God's activity in multiple languages. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Well, grace and peace to you from the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Who is the leader of Resurrection Lutheran Church? I heard Jesus. There's one answer. Any others? All of us? Any other answers? Maddie says her. She is. Yeah, I mean, there could be a number of answers, right? Jesus, a pastor, church council, all of us, just Maddie, right? Lots of answers. But typically, throughout the history of the church, post 313 CE, there has been a very hierarchical view of the church structure. We look for a heroic leader that acts upon and saves the church by single-handedly carrying it on their shoulders. In the Catholic Church, that is typically who? The Pope. In Protestant churches, which means non-Catholic churches, that's typically in the past been the pastor. Before I became a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I heard people say things like, if only we had a younger pastor, it would solve all of our problems. If only we had a more experienced pastor, it would solve all of our problems. If we had a pastor who was more traditional, it would solve all of our problems. If we only had a pastor who was more contemporary, it would solve all of our problems. I think you get the point. They were looking for one person to come in, put their church on their shoulders, and carry it back to the days when the pews were overflowing. I liken it to our presidential elections every 4 years. We are typically so overwhelmed with the things that need to be fixed in our country and in our lives that we think that by voting in just this one person, that they will usher in new change and make everything better through their leadership. But we quickly realize that while they may move the needle a little bit, there are many more people and parts to this governmental system, and that one leader is rarely the answer. I'll be honest, while I was at the Festival of Homiletics this last week, that's the Festival of Preaching, as part of my continuing education in Pittsburgh, I had a bit of a crisis of calling when it came to my role as pastor. I wondered if I was a good enough leader for this congregation. See, I'm there and I see so many pastors who are just fantastic preachers. Pastors who are bragging about tripling their attendance numbers. Pastors who are talking about the books they're writing. Pastors who seem to have it all together. Pastors who talk about how moved they are by the worship that week. Pastors who are tearing up at the organ preludes because of how beautiful they are. Pastors who are starting up extroverted conversations any chance they get because they're fed by talking to people. And by Wednesday, I was wondering if maybe I was holding this congregation back. I even texted my wife, mentioning I wondered if I was in the right calling. Now, I say all this not to elicit sympathy. I don't want any words of affirmation after the service. That's not my love language. I say this because I realized that the Holy Spirit was refocusing me this week at the festival. On Wednesday, as I was starting to feel down and question myself, I heard Pastor Brian McLaren say, "You have permission to not be great at everything." And on Thursday, I heard one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard, Pastor Otis Moss III, say, "There is no such thing as a perfect pastor. God calls authentic people. Be who God created you to be, not what people think you should be." It was then that I realized that I was trying to be, for better or worse, that heroic leader, to carry it on my shoulders, to be the kind of pastor that everyone wants me to be, or that I think people want me to be. But that's an egotistical mindset that is doomed to fail. And that isn't the plan that God has for God's church here on earth. In fact, on Thursday, I was reading from the second book in our summer book series called Doing Justice Together, and I came across a passage, probably prompted by the Holy Spirit, about the Pentecost event in our Acts reading today. The authors say that the distributive nature of the Pentecost story is a manifestation of God's desire for shared leadership in the church. It's a story about how God calls each of us, as we are, to be leaders in the mission of sharing Jesus' love to the world. The authors, Hand and Beck, say, "At Pentecost, the power Jesus promised was poured out in an equalizing, adaptive, and collectivistic way. The power was distributed throughout the entire community. It expands like ever-widening circles. All of the disciples were empowered and gifted as a community of equals with a clear missional focus. The power was shared, relational, decentralized, and self-organized. When the Holy Spirit arrives, it blesses and calls all people. It gives the gathered disciples, both men and women, the ability to speak in a variety of languages. And it gives the masses who were gathered in Jerusalem the ability to understand all of the languages present. God does not call and equip just his best disciple, like maybe Peter, who's called the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. Not just the disciple John says was the one that Jesus loved. Not just the ones who learned under Jesus for 3 years, but all who were gathered there. All are gifted equally with the advocate, the comforter, the helper, the sustainer, the Holy Spirit. The breath of God that continues to this day to nudge us all towards participating in God's loving and redemptive work. Leadership in the church is best lived out when all people are involved, sharing the unique gifts that they have been given by the Holy Spirit. Confirmands, listen up. This is why we do Confirmation Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. Some people will try to tell you that the youth are the future of our church. And I say that's garbage. Because you are the church now. This day celebrates that each of you have chosen to say, God, I may not have all the answers. God, I still may have a lot of questions. But God, I am choosing to acknowledge your grace and love in my life and to be a leader in your church to share that love and grace with others. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not just for those who are baptized or confirmed. Each of you all have been gifted with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in your lives, however you want to envision or define that. And it beckons us to use our gifts as part of the shared leadership of Christ's church here on earth, for the sake of sharing the good news of God's love and grace with all people. And I have seen it in the work that you do, whether you realize it or not. Many of you stepping up, all of you stepping up in some way to help lead this church, working at the food pantry, cooking meals for the community, making meals for those experiencing homelessness, serving on church council and committees to do the work of the church, leading Sunday school, bringing someone to church who cannot drive themselves anymore, creating quilts, running live streaming and multimedia, serving communion, lighting candles, playing a musical instrument, praying for one another. The list goes on. And this church would not be what it is today without each and every one of you stepping up to be the leaders in the church that God has called you to be. Beck and Hand, again from the book Doing Justice Together, put it this way. Shared leadership requires people finding their intrinsic motivation. What wakes us up in the morning? What energizes us? What keeps us up at night? What broke us? What wicked problems do we see in the world? What is so beautiful that it compels us to act even in adverse circumstances? What gifts, graces, and skills do we possess? A key question is, what is God calling me to do? Then, how does that personal calling intersect with the larger mission of the community? I am so blessed. Resurrection Lutheran Church is so blessed. Lebanon, Warren County, and beyond are so blessed that each and every one of you hears the call of the Holy Spirit to come here and participate in the life of the church our mission and our ministries in the ways that you are gifted to do. None of us can do it all. But together with the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can do mighty things in joining with God to bring justice, healing, and restoration to this world. God has chosen and equipped you to be a leader and participant in Jesus' church here on earth. How will you choose to live it out? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.